Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is the war.
Check us out on Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Do you think that a Ravenclaw girl like you could ever fall for a Hufflepuff boy like me? I know that we're in two totally separate leagues, but hey, I still think it'd be neat. You've got your PhD in psychology, I've got my GED in this crippling anxiety. It might not sound too terribly appealing, but hey, I still think it'd be neat. And I pretend that every vague ambiguous Facebook post is always about me, like the one from last week when you said that you're starting to have the feels. I'll be right here if you wanna make some bad decisions. I know that your parents don't like me, but I'll be a hit with your drunk Aunt Susan. She sounds like a hoot. Got a pocket full of all the things you told your mom you would never do. I've got some illegal, some forbiddens, and some downright frowned upons. And girl, they're all for you. And I promise to pull back your hair if you think you're gonna be sick. If that's not boyfriend material, then I don't know what is. I'll be right here if you wanna make some bad decisions. I know that your parents will hate me, but I'll be a hit with your drunk Aunt Susan at the family reunion. I'll rip my soul to shreds just to give you a piece to watch. I know such a lovely heart cry. I'll rip my soul to shreds just to give you a piece to watch. I know your heart would make such a lovely heart cry. I'll be right here if you wanna make some bad decisions. I know that your parents will hate me, but I'll be a hit with your drunk Aunt Susan.
I'll be right here if you wanna make some bad decisions. I know that your parents will hate me, but I'll be a hit with your gin drunk alcoholic, hippie dippy, acid dripping, methadone withdrawing Aunt Susan.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, this is Kuvy and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley. We like the devil's three-way girls. If anybody wants to get Chinese finger trapped, just give us a call.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, real quick, I want to remind everybody, if you're on Spotify, go check out this Rock Paper Podcast Spotify playlist I made with everybody from the show, about two or three songs from every guest that I could find on Spotify. So if you want to discover some more local music, get on there and check it out. So with all that out of the way, today I'm hanging out with none other than Kuvy.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, and we also have a special guest here with us.
Mr. Evan Murray.
Yeah. What's up? Hey-o. yeah, man. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, fake excitement. Let's do it.
Excited to be here.
No, I am excited to be here. I, you know, Kuvy is a guy I've been... You know, been seeing the name, and we've been running around a lot the same music scene. I see you pops every now and then and stuff, but you know, I don't really know a whole lot about you. And then these are always a great excuse for me to get to hang out and get to talk and get to know more about you and the songs and everything else. So
yeah,
so I appreciate you taking some time out to hang, man.
Oh yeah, out of my busy day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a very generous guy.
Right. so I guess we'll start with you are just recently become a solo act. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. I started recording with Evan here at the end of last year, but we didn't actually get to start like releasing songs until I don't know, maybe April. I don't know. I'm doing like one song a month, and I think I have 7 songs out now. So whatever the math is on that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just... I was doing a bunch of bands for forever and ever, and just kind of got sick of them breaking up.
Yeah.
So I figure, if I quit on myself, then I really suck ass. You know? So... Which, hey, I've thought about it a couple times, I'm not going to lie. I've been like, oh man, I'm really bad. I should knock this off. But... Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So you, you were playing guitar with those bands or?
Bass in all of them. Okay. Yeah. I started playing bass whenever I was a wee tyke. And because it's, I mean, come on, it's the easiest instrument ever. Like, look at me play one note at a time and do a jump kick. You can't, if you're a real guitar player, you can't do jump kicks while you're playing because you're going wheedle wheedle. With bass, you're just going, ba-dum, jump kick, ba-dum. That's it, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah, bass is the way to go. Kids, learn bass.
Right. If you're gonna learn anything from this podcast,
you're such a bad influence. You're just like learn the thing that takes the minimal effort.
Right.
You know what really helped me learn how to play bass too was acid. That's actually true too. So you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Man, there was no hesitation. We didn't ease our way into that one. We just went ahead and just like, fuck it. Let's just go ahead and drop this.
If you're between
right
the ahead. Age of 12 and 14 and you haven't dropped acid, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Right. Yeah, you know, we're learning all kinds of new stuff here. This is start bass, drop mm-hmm. acid.
Yep. Well, it's like, I don't know, it all, like, I was... It's kind of, the whole music thing is kind of funny, just because, like, really, I started, my first band ever was, do you know John Bon Lomond, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So, our first band ever was, you know, we were in the same band. It can remain nameless, because it was awful. But, you know, we were doing, like, nu metal, whenever nu metal was cool.
Yeah.
And then, just because I started, like, doing the heavy stuff, then it just was just a slew of heavy bands after that. And then it just, I don't know, I kind of got to the point where I was like, I want to play something a bit happier. Right. So I moved into the pop punk scene, and now I'm just doing whatever the shit I want.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've been checking out some of these
songs you've been releasing. Yes. And yeah, there's a lot of really good stuff, and like definitely a lot the pop punk and lot love song kind of vibe to some of the stuff. And then but then I recall you released one that was not so love song.
Yeah.
It was called The Angry Tango.
Yeah. Yes. That one. People
still my favorite.
People seem to get a kick out of that one. I don't know why.
Yeah. This is kind of the other end of the spectrum on that one.
Well, I've joked about this live, but like a lot of my set, even The Angry Tango, everybody thinks that's like a relationship song. It's not. It's just, it is about a girl, but it wasn't like a relationship situation. It was just a girl that deserved a hate song. But like a lot of my, I've joked about it live where I've done sets where I'll do a cute song and then an angry song, then a cute song, then an angry song until, you know, I do 6 or 8 songs and I'm done. And just, you know, my whole set is just completely bipolar because it's like I meet this girl in the first 2 weeks, I write her a cute song. Every time, week 3, it falls apart because she fucking says something. And then, sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, week 3 is like, okay, here's your angry song. And then move on.
All right.
So, yeah, that's pretty much how I write songs.
Yeah. That, it's just funny to think of it that, like, if you listen to them, even on, you know, your YouTube or whatever, you're like, listening to these in order, it's like, yeah, you can kind of get that vibe where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, he's happy, things are good, and this, oh, nope, no, it's taking a turn for the worse in this.
Indeed it has.
Yeah.
Oh, he's up shit creek again.
And all the paddles have fallen out of the canoe.
Yep.
Do a lot of these, I guess, I mean, are you writing from a pretty real place in these, or are these some stories you made up, or
no? So far, all of them are real.
Yeah.
But I am just here recently because I've been getting into more of like indie music. I've been kind of writing. I don't know how to. I'm trying to think how to even work. It's like, yeah, so more of them have been like kind of just weird fantasy ideas.
And
just,
right.
But. Yeah, so far everything I've released has been from a real spot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool. And you said Evan's been helping you out with recording.
Yep.
And stuff?
False Direction Studios, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of handy-dandy that it's in the basement here.
Right.
So, but yeah, he's played instruments on most of them. You know, he's played drums, we've programmed, like, that last song, Picture Perfect. I wrote it on ukulele, and I had, like, a lot of ideas, but he programmed all of it, and then I just, like, tracked, you know, a couple, like, I think there are 2 guitar tracks, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they sound great, guys. I mean, like, you know, for the production value and everything, it all coming together real nicely. Are those available for purchase, or...
Nope.
No,
everything? Because I suck. I really do. I've
you
been
get your ass on Spotify, dude.
Dude, I've been talking about being like, I've been talking about starting getting a band camp going for months, and I just
haven't. My band is a baby and hasn't even played a single show yet, and we already have a band camp up.
Treading Oceans.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really bad at this.
Yeah, yeah. The band camp I think would which is nice because you can either pay what you want, or free, or you know, charge a certain amount, or whatever it is, $1 a song, or whatever.
Oh, I'm totally down for giving them away for free, because everybody says, like,
with
Bandcamp, if you charge $1 per song, instead of you getting anything, I think you have to pay them $75 every time. So, I don't know.
No,
it's a pretty rough split, from what I hear.
It is.
I think Bandcamp's, though, one of the most... fair compared to like iTunes and things. I think they do pay more than most of the other services. So from what I've heard, so I don't know. A lot of people promote their Bandcamp page more than iTunes and all the other stuff. So, so I don't know. But yeah, it's nice to have it all out there at convenience for, you know, Spotify, even if you're going to have it for free and for people to listen and things, it's a great tool. I mean, everybody, well, most people have Spotify in their pocket now. So,
what always gets me is, which, like, it's the same reason why I'm really bad about, like, sending my songs to corn, like, to the local show, for The Point, is with my blind ass, I get on the points website and there's so many just pictures and stuff that, like, I have my computer set up for, you know, so it's blind guy accessible.
Yeah.
But there are some websites that are just, I can't navigate. And the points website is one of them.
Yep.
You know, so it's the same thing with, like, Spotify and Bandcamp. I get on there and I get frustrated after about 7 seconds. And I'm just like, fuck this!
Peace out! Another thing, speaking of Cornbread, I was actually invited to be a guest on his show one Sunday. And what I thought was really cool when I got there is the first thing he did, I walked in the door with him through the offices, and first thing he did was check his mailbox. And he had people mail him CDs, opened them up. And as we're, like, getting the show ready to go for the night, he's in there popping them in the CD player and actually listening to the stuff. So, I mean, he does listen to what people send him. It's not like he just, like, oh, this is junk and throws it away. It's like, so I thought that was really cool that, you know, he actually does sit there and listen to, you know, people say, hey, listen to track 2 and 5 or whatever. And
oh, yeah. He always has been. So. He's, like, as far back as I can remember, he's always done really good by everybody.
Yeah. Always. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it was cool to see actually it happening behind the scenes and, like, you know, I mean, I know he's always been a great dude, but like I said, I thought that was really cool because, I mean, a lot of people probably won't take time to listen to somebody's demo or record or whatever, just especially at that level of, you know, radio and stuff, but, but yeah, I'm sure he's always looking for the next great local song to play and stuff, so. But yeah, I'm sure, I'll help you out. I don't care.
Yes!
I'll get you on there.
That'd be awesome.
I think that definitely is something you need to get on board with the Bandcamp and Spotify and all that stuff. Get these songs heard by everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at right now is I'm just trying to, shows are neat, but more than anything, I'm trying to actually get... Facebook's such a motherfucker because you don't know how to get past... It's like, okay, here are friends and family... and then what?
Yeah.
You know, what about the rest of the world? There's about 7 billion other people.
You have to make it downloadable, dude.
Shut up. I mean, yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I don't know. That, wow. And then, like, they want you to, like, pay
for... My feelings are hurt.
You don't have feelings.
They want you to pay for promotion on there and all that stuff now, and it's like, really, really difficult to get them out, get it heard by anybody.
I was planning on, with my next song... which, you know, I firmly believe my next one is my best so far. As far as just, like, actually songwriting and kind of learning how to do vocal harmonies and stuff, I think it's my best. So I'm gonna see what, you know, buying ads on Facebook actually does. I haven't done it yet.
Right.
Again, though, I don't even know how to do that. Is it PayPal? Do you guys know?
No, I think it's right through there. And, like, they have their own service or whatever.
Cool.
Was that the one you played today?
No.
No.
That one, I think, is going to be... Evan and I are tracking that one on the 21st. So that'll be my song for December.
Okay.
And I'm going to, you know, give the people the folk song. I have a ballad for January that I'm going to do, you know, to get ready for Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
we're
not really good for January.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I got a backlog right now.
Oh, I know you do. I live with you. I'm very aware of it.
Always listening to my bullshit.
So you did play Falling Lights live on the show.
Woo!
We'll drop that in. So that's one you're still set to record.
Yeah.
So that is it going to be? I mean, you just did it today live with an acoustic guitar, but is that? Do you have a bigger production that you're hoping to go for that?
Most definitely. I'm actually... That banjo right there, I'm thinking, once I actually learn how to tune it, since that song is in G, and the five-string banjo is tuned to open G, I figure I can finagle something.
Right.
I still don't know how to play that banjo. I stole it from my nephew.
Speaking of shitty uncles...
If Jake's listening... Fuck you. Anyway. he didn't play it anyway.
You said it's a weird Jake.
To Jake.
Oh.
Well, fuck you too, man. Anyways. No, I'm thinking I might be able to finagle some of that and kind of Mumford and Sons that bitch up, but I would like it to be like almost like a full band song, but like, you know, very chilled out drums, probably like old school folk, like walking bass.
Yeah.
Try to make it sound like an upright bass, possibly. Just because I've already noticed I have two songs out there that the song Fools in Love, which is my first ukulele song, and Amber and Jade, which is a song about a girl who killed herself. But they're both really, really bare bone songs. And thus far, those two are my least popular. So I'm just hoping to put at least drums in every song. I think every song kind of needs a pulse.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still figuring this shit out.
Right. So, any story behind that song? The lyrics and things to it?
Which one?
The new one? Falling Lights?
That one, it's kind of a... I don't know. It's kind of like a final farewell kind of song. Just, you know, sad, folksy, oh, we're breaking up, and I guess I'm not angry about it anymore. Yeah. That sort of... It's like the end of it is, what are the words? Something about when the blues and reds fade to muted grays. It's just like whenever the anger and sadness goes away, and it's just, you just don't care anymore.
Right.
It's kind of that.
Shadows that we cast, you insist it's still for the best. But please don't let go, even though this is much too much to hold. And we are the fallen lights, burning hot and burning bright. We are the comets in the night, setting fire to paper. Trade my wrist for the wish. I trade my throat for the hope that this is not the end. You laced your voice frost you borrowed from the wind, recounting mistakes you couldn't quite forgive. The autumn moon stood silent like the wintry mood of this moment. The air caught in our lungs, never reaching our tongues. Words better left unspoken, but please don't let go, even though this is much too much to hold. And we are the fallen lights, burning hot and burning bright. We are the comets in the night, setting fire to paper skies. I trade my wrist for the wish. I trade my throat for the hope that this is not the end. That this is not the end. And this is the saddest day. All the blues and reds fade to muted grays. I guess there's nothing left to say. Turn and walk away. This is the saddest day. All the blues and reds fade to muted grays. I guess there's nothing left to say.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was digging it. It sounded great here, and I'm excited to hear the studio version when you get there. But I'm always a sucker for some live acoustic stuff. So, and I enjoy. It's a lot of fun for me behind getting those stories behind the songs and all that stuff. And that's a good excuse for doing this show is getting to do all that stuff. And
yeah.
But you mentioned, so I guess for October or November, right? That was for November, the Picture Perfect?
No, that was technically for October. Oh, okay. It came out at the very end of October. Yeah. We barely made the cutoff.
Yeah.
Dude, that one, I don't know. That was a fun song. At least just
I loved doing that song. It really was. That was a lot of fun for me.
I wrote that one on ukulele, but I already had a ukulele song, you know, like 4 months ago, so I couldn't already do another ukulele song, yeah. And I, you know, of course, play it live acoustic, because acoustic's the only instrument I take live, but I just, it's kind of this whole, fuck it, you know, right. I might as well have fun with the whole solo thing. I don't have anybody else telling me that's a dumb idea anymore, so, well, yeah, but then I can be like, I'm paying you. You work for me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm in charge for once.
Right.
Make me a sandwich. He makes the worst sandwiches. For some reason, they always taste like dick.
Well, you got... Yeah, you know what? I tried to come up with something witty, and I totally failed.
Oh, don't.
I'm gonna concede there.
I already made the I'm sucking your dick joke. Remember 60-40. Anyway,
yeah. Well, now that the 40% is out.
Yep, I got most of my body out of the fucking closet now.
Damn it!
Is there plans to put all this on a record or do any of that kind of stuff?
People keep telling me I need a physical copy, but I don't know. I don't think people. I guess it shows sometimes people still want to buy, you know, CDs, but I don't know. It's
well, even if you like just put it into like digitally, and then you can sell like those business cards with download codes on them, and that's another way. Even though I mean I'm one of those fans that I love having the physical copy, but I mean it'd still be nice to have something where people can help support you, whether it's a shirt or you know I know you have shirts out now, but. But yeah, I mean, people still want to buy the music, so.
One of the, like, I think the most difficult part, like, is in every band I've ever been in, for obvious reasons, because my eyeballs don't work, I don't have anything to do with the art, you know? CD art, shirt art, you know, why would I have a suggestion on that? I have no clue. So, to get CDs... Like, even to get a shirt made was pretty... I asked, like, 7 different people, and they'd be like, so what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. You're the creative one. You, dude, think about me, think about who I am, and shirt. You know what I mean? And then they look at me, and they're like, yeah, you're stupid. I'm like, I know. Yeah, I get it. So I don't know. I don't have to deal with the stress of coming up with art.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fuck that.
All right. Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat. Like, I'm when I was like going to make flyers and stuff like that for the show, and I'm like, even the logo design and things, I was just like, yeah, let's make something cool, you know, like, and then I'll see what you know, free range, get creative with it, have some fun, and I'll tell you if I don't like it, but you know, most likely, I'm sure it'll be great. But
yeah, and like. I've same thing. Like people have asked me to write them songs before, right? Which this is probably where like the artists are coming from. Whenever they're just like, yeah, just write me something, and you're like, okay, and then you write something, and they're like, I don't know, I was thinking, and you're like, I just put in hours of work on this, you know? So I get how it is annoying to just be like, yeah, come on, something, and then they always want to do something quirky, and I'm like, I don't like it. I know I can't see it, but terrible.
All right. We mentioned some live shows, and we do have one date coming up that we need to tell you about. And you're playing November 26th. Mm-hmm. That'll be at Rolla, or down in Rolla, at Shots. And then this also happens to be a white trash party. So
dude.
If you're in the Rolla area near Shots and you want to come out, and see Kuvy, make sure you wear your finest jorts or overalls or flannel or whatever it is, and not have a good time.
Dude, I actually just found out today that that's the theme of the show. I had no clue.
And dude, Straw Dog's coming back.
That's probably why they did it. I met Josh from Shots. I played at Hoozall Labor Day weekend, and it was the I don't drink anymore because my guts don't work right. But on float trips, I have to drink because come on, you know. So yeah.
I think it's written in the contract.
Exactly, it's in the Constitution.
Yeah,
something 3/5 hammered. I don't know, but so like I don't know. Sunday, the day I played, I was so hungover that like I could hardly even tune my guitar because my head was going wah, 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 wah. So then you're trying to tune the guitar and it's going wah, wah, and you're like, wait a minute, I think I'm gonna throw up here. But yeah, so I met Josh whenever I was, you know, wearing a stupid straw hat, hadn't showered yet, I was wearing jeans that looked like I was attacked by a wildebeest. It was rough. Are wildebeests in Australia?
Africa.
Fuck! Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you a zoologist?
Yep.
Man, didn't think I'd get shot down there.
Got you there.
Hashtag out of nowhere.
So yeah, that'll be, that sounds like a fun night.
Sure.
So, if you got some friends down in the Raleigh area, tell them to come out. Come over to Shots. And party it up.
Yeah.
So would you, I mean, like you're saying, when you're recording these in the studio here, I mean, you're adding drums and bass and doing all this. Would you ever put together the Kubi band and try to go out and recreate these live as like the studio?
Only people have brought that up to me before. And I mean, maybe, but it would kind of have to be like if there's enough demand for it. Because right now, people have suggested it, kind of like, hey, maybe someday.
Yeah.
You know, but until you know, it's like with the whole one song a month, and when people give a fuck, cool. You know, I'm down for pretty much anything. It's just, yeah. Right now, I'm just like whenever I got back into music, right, I had a long hiatus from music because I had liver failure, and so I was just all laid up for a long time. I partied a lot. And so my first stint back into music was I joined Contenders with this guy.
Ooh.
And, you know, it was fun, but, you know, it was nobody's fault. But our singer and our rhythm guitar player, within, like, what was it, like 3 months... Both of them, because of
talking
work.
Talking about Nick and...
Yeah, Nick and Justin.
Yeah.
Both of them, for work reasons, you know, no hard feelings or anything, but both of them had to, like, leave the band immediately, and then it was just, you know, same
kind
old...
Kind of lost all its steam.
Exactly. And so then Evan and I started Collider, and same thing, our singer had to leave for school, you know, before the first show. And then it's, like, just the same thing... of just bands breaking up for reasons that you're just like, ah, you know what I mean?
Right.
So until there's a real good reason to do the band thing again, I don't really want to, you know, because even before my hiatus from music because of the liver, it was a lot of the same stuff. The band I was in forever was called Elusive, and I mean, it was all of our faults. We were all on drugs, and it was just a shit show. But, you know what I mean? It was just a revolving door.
Stories are endless, trust me.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've heard probably about 50% of them, and I hear them all the time.
Dude, I fell out of tree houses on a regular basis.
Dude, I've seen a video of Kubi at the point of complete blindness, as he is now, driving a car.
Yeah.
No bullshit.
Dude.
Watch a video of a blind man driving a car, that's when you know that band party's a little too hard.
Right? We were huge in Arkansas for some reason, right? Whenever I joined the band, three of the members were from Arkansas, but one of them left. But so we still had two guys that were from Arkansas in the band, and we'd go down there on a regular basis, and it just, dude, it was nuts. We went down there with Copperview one time, and we got shit. Everybody, hammered at this show.
Shit hammered.
I mean, people, it was a claw hammer too, so it was extra messy. And it was, I don't even know what that means. But, so blah, blah, blah. We're playing, you know, we get done playing, we're drinking a lot, and this dude comes up to us, he's like, "Hey man, I work at, I don't even remember what the, it's basically like a junkyard, kinda, you know, like a scrap metal place." He's like, "I work here." He gives us his card. He's like, "Call me tomorrow. We're going to party some more." And we're like, what does this even mean?
Oh, so I've heard the story.
We call this dude, and he's like, "Hey, man, this is the address. Come here now." And it's one of those places where they have those giant, like, whatever, the cranes with a magnet that picks up the cars, and you can literally throw them.
Right.
I didn't do that because I was afraid I'd throw a car on somebody. You know, I'm a very, very reasonable blind man. But, so, like, my drummer's chucking cars around this place, and they're finally like, "Hey, this minivan works. Goofy, you want to drive?" I'm like, "Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sober. Let's do this." Why would I say no to this? I went maybe 12 feet before I ran into something.
On the video, what I saw happen is he was in like a purplish van.
Mm-hmm.
It was a total mom-mobile. And he just... They say something absolutely ridiculous to kind of like... You know, once off, give him a once off, and he just guns it, backs up 12 feet, and slams into something, and that's the dead end of it.
That's the problem, too. I thought it was going to be going forward. That's how I used
to. They must have tricked you and put you in reverse. What a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, which is bullshit, because I used to drive, so I know how a car works. Yeah. I just, whoops. Whoopsie my daisy.
Yeah.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah.
Honestly, man, That's the thing that you miss most, like, since doing the solo thing. It's like, I don't know, having a band to party with was the best part of having a band.
Right.
Yeah, the shows are fun, you're up on stage with people, you're dancing, you're giving each other high fives. Blind people are bad at high fives, so I'm basically just waving at people, you know, missing hands left and right, but whatever, we're still having fun. And then afterwards, you get shit canned, you know, which I don't do that anymore, but still. Now, it's like I go, I play songs, I sing dirty words, and people are like, "Oh, I like your dirty words, thanks." And then it's like, well, now I'm here.
Yeah.
So, I'm still getting used to it. It's weird.
Right. Well,
That was a long rant. You know me.
Oh, yeah.
That was a monologue.
That's what these podcasts are good for, though.
You never shut up.
I don't mean to pry, but you said you drove before, mm-hmm. So I'm guessing you weren't born blind then?
Nah, what I have is called retinitis pigmentosa.
Yeah,
and it's a son of a bitch. But yeah, it's a degenerative thing, and it's just, you know, it's at a pretty shitty spot right now. it'd be pretty cool if they could fix it.
Right.
But yeah,
is there something?
In China.
Yeah?
Yeah. In China, dude, they have... In fact, I've been emailing this lady named Carol from China because I saw some YouTube videos. They've been doing these surgeries over there where 100% of the... Which I'm thinking about getting a GoFundMe started because basically the surgery is expensive plus travel to China plus, you know, like hospitalization for like 20 days or something.
Yeah.
But 100% of the people who get the surgery, like they don't reverse it 100%. Like I'll never have 20/20 vision. But even if they could stop the degeneration, it'd be cool. Because even though like my eyes are shit right now, I'm fucking freaked about it. Just, you know, 100% black is scary.
Right.
Even though it's like 98% black right now.
Didn't you say you're on your way to that?
Oh,
yeah, I thought you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even if they can stop it, and like, but in all of them, you know, it 100% they don't like 100% reverse it, but they do roll it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just recent, like, you have rods and cones in the back of your eyeball, you know? Mm-hmm. And I always just kind of like, what I was taught whenever I was a kid was, the rods and cones just don't regenerate as fast as they're supposed to. So it's kind of like your eyes have old age. But I always thought it was just the rods and cones. They found out in recent years that it's my eyeballs don't, like, there's not enough blood flow to the back of my eyes.
Hmm.
And so China figured that out, and China is rerouting or rerouting whichever blood, like blood vessels, and open like stenting blood vessels, and you know injecting stem cells, and it's you know giving everybody who's had the surgery better vision.
Huh?
Yeah, I know.
Crazy, man.
So neat. But I got to get to China.
Right.
I don't even have a passport.
Wonder why, you know, U.S. medicine's not.
Dude,
trying this.
They take forever. China, the thing is, like, China's the Wild West. They have so many people that they can just be like, ah, let's try it.
Right.
Until they get it right.
Yeah.
Bless their hearts. They're like, wait a minute, you have diabetes? Let's just take out your spleen. Oh, that didn't fix it.
Yes.
Ah, well.
Yeah. Well, man, I don't know. Hopefully they figure something out to help you out. And
yeah. Dude, it's weird, like, this is the problem, like, kind of being an anxious mess in general, is also, it's like, so many people know me now as the blind dude.
Right.
That it's like, dude, if I got my eyeballs fixed, I'd just be a dude. How weird would that be?
Right.
I don't know. It'd be strange. It'd be strange to be all like, oh, seeing people.
I'm guessing then you learned guitar and that stuff before.
Yeah.
Before, so I imagine, because I don't know. You look at guys like Stevie Wonder and all these guys that are incredible musicians and that didn't have eyesight, and it's like blows my mind because it's like I'm fully capable of learning it. I just don't have it in me. I'm sure if I applied myself, but it's just like, but it's just crazy to me to think that these guys, you know, didn't let anything get in their way from playing guitar or drums or piano and everything else. So.
You know, I'm always super self-conscious of, like trying to not do the Stevie Wonder head shake while I sing. But apparently I do it anyway because people make fun of me about it. But it's just, you can't help it, you know? You're kind of getting into the song, and then you kind of forget that you're the only blind person up there, and everybody else doesn't do that while they sing. Damn it. But, yeah, that's, whenever I do stand-up, I have a Stevie Wonder joke I always have to do, and shit. I don't know. That dude, yeah, he was blind from birth. But piano, right. Piano's a lot different just because it is, your hands are flat on the keys at all time. I don't know. I suck at piano.
Yeah. Yeah, I never tried, so. You've been dabbling in comedy a little bit? And,
yeah.
Yeah?
Dude, this is, again, you're catching me on a bad day. Because last night I ate so much shit. Dude. So I first did comedy in February of this year. And I bombed. It was my first time ever. I bombed so hard. So hard that I didn't think I would ever do it again.
Yeah.
It was horrible. You know, like it was one of those where I had too much confidence because I've been playing music semi-professionally since I was 14. You know, so I was like, I'm pretty good on a mic. I can, you know, blah. I tell jokes in between my songs and shit. And it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad. That it took me, I didn't do it again until Halloween night of this year. That's how long it took me to give it another try.
Yeah.
But the fucked up thing is, Halloween, I did okay. Like, I didn't kill, but I didn't bomb. I was just in the middle. And then the following Monday, I went to Venice again, and I did okay again.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, same thing. False sense of confidence. And I just, whoa. I ate so much shit.
Yeah.
It's just, I went up with, like, vague ideas, and then I was like, oh, I've got these other jokes in my back pocket. If I need to tell my old ones, whatever, I got. But I didn't practice any of it. It's a lot more like playing guitar or, you know, playing a song. You have to have an idea. You know what I mean? There's
sure.
Timing, you know, the timing and the proper words and not, ugh. I was up there forgetting shit, just having, like, 20-second pauses of just going, wow. You know? It was so bad. But
has it only been at Venice so far?
Yeah. But, well, the first time I bombed was at the Heavy Anchor.
And that place is real rough. Because one, you only get 4 minutes. And at the Heavy Anchor, at least in my experience, it's like 100%. The only crowd there is other comedians. Which, you know, they'll laugh. If the established comedians will laugh because they're more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But then since so many people are like open micers, like me, they're not really listening to you. They're just thinking of what they're going to say.
Right.
You know, so you have a very inattentive audience. But at Venice, you have a lot of musicians and people doing spoken word and stuff, that they're more receptive. And Venice is kind of a hippie bar, mm-hmm. so people are just more accepting there.
Yeah.
So it's a comfortable place. You get like 15 minutes to go up and just dick around.
Okay.
So on the nights I did okay, it was so much fun. But, dude, bombing is rough.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of guys, and you know, I've had quite a few comedians on the show as well, and a lot of them, you know, they're just, even though they bomb the first time, they're mm-hmm. immediately hooked, though. Like, it's something, there's that rush of just being on stage and everything and mm-hmm. getting any laugh, and then you immediately crave that and want to get out and try it again and stuff. But yeah.
Dude, that's kind of why, like, my live show with music is kind of, I have so many silly songs now that I don't know if I'll ever record them, because I like, you know, I recorded the Angry Tango specifically because the girl that it's about, I wanted her to hear it. And she doesn't live around here. You know what I mean? So that one's but some of my other angry songs, I don't know if I'm actually gonna track them, because having that pop from the crowd, same like you're saying, is super addicting. So I don't know that I might just keep recording some of my more serious or cuter songs, you know.
Sure.
But like even last night, only one of my new jokes stuck, and that's the only thing that didn't scare me away again.
Right.
I had a 38 special joke that I fucking dug, and people laughed. I'm like, yes, I'm getting off stage now. I got one. After like 7 minutes of just crickets, I got one.
That's what, I hear, you know, you take the one that works and then you keep that and you cut the rest or you figure out how to rewrite it and make mm-hmm. it work. And then you eventually just keep doing that until you have a solid 5-10 minutes or whatever. You know, you try to put a set together that way and stuff. But yeah, so, I mean, obviously, there's a little comedy in Angry Tango. I mean, even though as much as it is, it's still funny to hear like how much terrible things you say in there. But is there? I mean, would you ever consider doing like more mixing the two a little bit, comedy and music? I mean, you got guys like you know, your Stephen Lynch mm-hmm. and all these you know, comedian songs, you know, comedians that sing songs and stuff, but. Does that ever cross your mind at all? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I just, so far, like, any of my songs, like, a lot of my songs have levity. Just because, you know, it's like, I'm a silly dude, so, and that's what I'm trying to do, with, like, with the solo stuff. Is, like, back in the day, I wrote songs for, you know, at least I had a pretty good hand in the writing in all the songs, right? Yeah. So, whenever you're writing and having another person sing it, because this is the first time I'm really singing, you kind of write generic on purpose, because even in the first song I recorded for the solo stuff is Dream Girl, and it's, you know, it literally is about a dream I had, and in the dream there were crustaceans chasing us, you know, in the dream, and you don't want to give that to another person, and they're just going to be like, what, fucking crustaceans?
Yeah.
No, change that line, even though that's, I don't know, it's a quirky song, but it's still technically a serious song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, there's probably going to be silliness in every song I write.
Right.
But going full joke, I don't know. I don't know if I, who knows, maybe sure. I can do it, but I haven't technically tried yet.
Yeah, I mean, even like, you know, obviously Tenacious D and stuff, I mean, mm-hmm. like, those songs still rock, even as much of goofy as they are, you know? So, like, I like a lot of that kind of stuff that kind of do that. I mean, it's still comedy, but it also has that, you know, their newer record, Rise of the Phoenix. Yeah. Like, that's a lot more like, there's not as many jokes in there, as much, but it's still like obviously very silly, like it's all so, the roadie and stuff. And
I think the song 39 is my favorite.
Right.
Boobies drooping, but she's good enough for me. I don't remember the melody.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's I mean, the whole record is great, but it's definitely a lot more, you know, it seems more devoted towards the actual music and stuff, even though there's still a lot of silliness in the songs. But
yeah,
I actually met those dudes at Vintage Vinyl. They did a show at the Pageant a couple years back, and they did a signing for Rise of the Phoenix.
That's
so
badass.
So I bought the record on vinyl, and I got it autographed by the guys, and they, you know, there was a pretty good line, and I didn't want any pictures and all that kind of stuff, but it was cool to get my record autographed by Kyle and JB. So
Rage and Cage.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they I love those guys, and that was still one of my favorite live shows. It was just a really great time, and super silly, and like the whole show, they have the phoenix behind them, which looks like a giant dick with wings, and then like at the end of the show, like their finale, the phoenix ejaculated all over the crowd with these little paper sperms, all like confetti all over the crowd.
That's awesome.
And then immediately deflated. And then it looked like a giant vagina then at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so for their encore, they come out and they're like, open up the vagina, and they walk out and they're like, man, it's hot in there, and all this stuff. And like, so
that's great.
Yeah, it was awesome though. Those guys are just so funny and such a great show.
Kyle's harmonies are awesome too.
Yeah.
I've watched whenever, like, I'm still like, I'm a brand new singer, right? In January, with like Colliders, for one and only show that I had to sing because our singer had to move to Florida before the show. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever sang, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how new I am to singing. But Tenacious D, watching their live videos where, you know, like the vocals are mixed a little bit louder than on the studio albums, that's how I'm learning how to sing harmonies with Kyle.
Huh.
Yeah, dude, it's a great way for other singers who suck like me. There you go.
Yeah, I think, I forget the name, but I think he's actually got a serious music project, too. That
I think it might be called Trainwreck?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to, so maybe, I guess we're, I was going to say it's Trainwreck, but yeah, I didn't want to say it and be wrong, but
if you're
thinking it, then we must be right. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, he's, but, you know, both, I mean, even, Jack, you know, they're all very, very talented guys. They just like to have a good time up there. So, but yeah, man, I mean, like, you know, I thought you sounded awesome, doing that song today, and
tight,
especially for, like, you're singing, not even singing a year yet.
Dude, one of the reasons why the next song that I am putting out, it's called It'd Be Neat. The reason I think, okay, like in Picture Perfect, in the bridge of that one, I figured out how to do, there's like four, I think there's a four part harmony in the bridge where I just kind of finally started realizing how to, I'm kind of a music theory nerd, right? Yeah. So whenever, like with guitar, I can pick up harmonies like it ain't nothing because you have the frets. So you can be like, if you're playing in a minor, you know, The harmony of 5-7-8 would be 8-10-12 whenever you're talking frets. You know, guitar players know what I'm talking about. But I don't know why it took me so long to realize it's the same thing with your voice.
Yeah.
You know? So whenever I write my melody, you know, just by humming along to the guitar, but then I do like a rough demo. I have a USB mic that I hook up to my computer. I pick out the melody on my guitar, and then I just, you know, with, you know, just do the thirds and the fifths on the guitar. It's so much fucking easier now because I can't do it by ear still. Hopefully I can one of these days. But, yeah, I just don't have the ear for it yet, which is Evan went upstairs. But, you know, I'm jealous of him because that dude has perfect pitch and he can just do it like that. That motherfucker, he's not even a singer. But, I mean, in his band, Treading Oceans, he does do backing vocals, but you know what I mean.
He's not,
So that's your person. But anyway, I'm figuring it out. But yeah, what I was saying, again, God, I'm bad on tangents. yeah, okay, so like the new song is kind of the same as like the bridge of Picture Perfect, where I have like 4-part harmonies. In the chorus of this new one, I have some pretty nifty 3-part harmonies. And I don't know, it's just shit's finally starting to come together, and it's all because of Tenacious D, is what I'm saying.
Shout out to Tenacious D.
Yeah, thanks, dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me open for you.
All right. They'll hear this. Big fans. So that'll be neat. That's December's release, or
that'll be in this month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. If we can, I don't know if we're gonna put it. Probably, you know, I can give it to you. You can fucking put it on this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And right now, yeah, Andrew Range does my lyric videos. Nice. Anybody who needs lyric videos, hit up Andrew Range of Inner Outlines. Yeah. I love that dude.
2-time guest of the show.
So huggable.
Yeah.
So huggable.
He's a very sweet man.
I got to MC whenever they did their CD release at Cicero's. I believe it was their CD release. I don't know. It was a big show with those guys. I got to be the MC for that show, and that's where I first met them.
Yeah.
It's like, I love these guys.
Yeah, great dudes.
I had a hiatus for so long because I was ill, that I lost touch with like all the entire scene changed while I was gone. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first time ever seeing Inner Outlines. I was like, these guys are fucking destroying worlds. All of the worlds. It's the first time I saw Forgetting January, who they might be my favorite band in town.
Yeah.
They're so good.
That Ballad of Paul Revere that they put out, man, such a great tune. And I'm very excited about their new record. I believe they said December 3rd they're looking to release that thing. So
tight.
Keep an eye out for new Forgetting January, too.
Those guys, I saw at the last, at the Discrepancies and Inner Outlines dual CD release show, Forgetting January opened that. And that's the first time I've seen them at Pops. And with those dudes, with that sound system, blew me away.
Yeah.
I love that band.
Yeah, man. I think that was the first time that was the first time I heard him do that Ballad of Paul Revere live. They put the single out online before, but yeah, mm-hmm. like it was, yeah, man, I'm excited. Big things coming for those guys and Discrepancies and Inner Outlines. All these guys are hustling. They're making things happen. It's an exciting time to be a part of this St. Louis music scene right now.
You know what's really crazy is like I started in the scene again, like whenever I was wee tyke, and it was back in the day whenever... Do you remember Amp STL? They might still be around. I don't know. They might still do shirts or something. But there used to be SGM Records that SGM Records turned into Amp STL. They were a studio and they also printed merch and all sorts of stuff. Back then, the only bands who had a singer who could sing were like... It was like the Fifth Element and Calico System. And it was just normal for bands to have tone deaf singers. It was normal. Yeah. It was the norm. And then again, like, no offense to the metal scene, but there were some really good screamers, but then whenever they would go over to singing, it was a bit shoddy.
Yeah.
You know? And then I come back after my like four year hiatus, and I joined the pop punk scene, and I'm like, dude, there's so many insanely talented people that it blew me away. Like, seriously, I did not expect that many amazing singers in town. Right. I expected to come back like it was back in the day, where there were people who had a range of about 6 notes. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is probably... Yeah, I've been in the scene for way too long, and this is the best it's ever been.
Nice, man. Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's, we all have highs and lows, but I feel we're definitely on a high right now, and keeps going up, so it's, And I don't know, I think it all partly also with the fact that everybody's kind of going, clicking on all cylinders, like it's inspiring others to elevate their game and bring it, you know, because, so we're all kind of feeding off that energy together.
And I think people have kind of started to pick up on it helps to help everyone.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Doing the whole... Trying to, like, I mean, I'm a solo act now, but I'm, you know, I promote my friends like crazy. Mm-hmm. I promote bands that aren't my friends just if they're good. Just because if
anyone makes it anywhere, if anyone from this town makes it, it just puts more eyes on this town.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so it's it helps to help everybody else.
Yeah.
It, any band who's that, you know, that ooh, us first band, meh. You know, I'm sorry. It's just it is what it is. Until they get on the bandwagon of being neat, you know, it's going to be a struggle.
Right.
But I think everybody's on board with just being cool.
Totally, man. Yeah. There's a lot of love going on in this scene, and everybody's helping each other out. So yeah. All right, buddy. Well, again, check out all of Kubi's tunes right now on his YouTube channel.
Yes, please.
Get on there and watch the lyric videos created by one Andy Range. And you can come see Kubi in the Raleigh area November 26th at Shots. And it's the White Trash Party, so don't forget that. But yeah, man. So we'll so we played Falling Lights. We'll have that in, and then maybe throw Picture Perfect and possibly
whatever
one.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
All right, buddy.
I'll send it to you, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So gonna get some, maybe get some exclusive new Kubi tunes right here on Rock Paper Podcast. What do you got? You have your you follow Kubi on Facebook for more dates and stuff coming up. And
pretty please.
Yeah. So get on there and check that out. All right, buddy.
Hey, I love you.
I love you, man. Thanks for doing the show.
No, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Cool. Let's go make love.
All right. We're out of here.
So here's another tragic tale of Jezebels and betrayal. Oh well, it's time to drive a final nail, so you can go ahead and paint your face like the angel of death and stumble like a stringless marionette. I've already seen the train wreck, I don't need to count the dead. Now I'll condemn you as a vapid narcissist, and may God damn your filthy mouth, it tastes like apocalypse. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that you are the incarnation of Lucifer. Woo! But girl, you sure smell an awful lot like sulfur. I should probably take the high road, smile and wave and say good luck. But let me check my pocket, aw shucks, it appears that I'm all out of bucks. You're nothing more than a crusty old disease-ridden gutter slut, mascara-faced clown, cellulite-covered homely succubus cunt. I think it's time that you cross your heart like the X's in your eyes. If loose lips really sink the ship, then you capsize the pair between your thighs. Butterfly.
illusion. So can you tell me exactly what did you expect? Tie the noose like a lover's knot. Daddy's girl pinned it wrapped around your neck.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.